are listening to Wells Tech, episode 610, recorded on Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. The Word and Your Photos. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today we'll be talking about ways to share your faith through God's Word and photos, all kinds of apps and tools that you can put imagery and God's Word together and share that in lots of different ways, social media, part of your church or school programs, etc. So you're not going to want to miss that discussion. We're also joined by Dr. Tom Custer, who is going to share with us an exciting new project called XR Project, Virtual and Augmented Reality, and a festival that goes along with that. He is from the Christ in Media Institute, a friend of the show, and we're excited to hear about what he has to say about this this new project that he started. We have news and tech, we have Wells Now, all the stuff that we normally have in a full-fledged Wells Tech episode. Stay tuned for all that and much more. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 610. We're recording it on September 10th, 2019, a show about technology and ministry. I'm one of your hosts, Martin Spriggs, and joining me as usual, Sally Draper, smiling over there across the table.
I'm smiling because this is the first official cat-friendly Wells Tech podcast.
What?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Me and cats are not usually on a first-name basis.
Yeah, we are not usually in the Draper household until Saturday, and Saturday our lives changed, and we now have Miss Mia, who rules our house in just three short days. So
so you have to tell the backstory. How did this all come about? What came over you?
What came over us? Just a son who expressed an interest, and we mulled it over for months and months. And eventually caved and decided it would be a great idea to have a cat in the Draper household.
So was there a dog versus cat discussion?
There was, but we're currently in a our living situation doesn't have a yard. We've had geckos in the past.
Okay.
But yeah, the idea of a dog and walking it in minus 30 degree temperatures just doesn't appeal.
Right.
And the idea of a cat just grew on us. And I think I'm pretty happy that it did. But yeah, cats are different. And Wells Tech, I'm sure, will be impacted.
Are we going to see cat videos now?
Cat videos,
please.
Cat pictures. Please, crazy cat lady at work here.
Are we going to see at least a picture in the show notes here?
I think that we could work that out.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. So, for those who don't look at the show notes, what kind is it?
It's a Humane Society adoption that I have no idea. She's kind of brown and white.
Okay.
And she's cute. And her name's Mia. And yeah.
Congratulations to the Draper household.
It's a big change.
All right. Good. I don't know how to segue from that to our discussion. Normally I can figure out something, but
sorry.
Well, we are actually starting a fresh season. Yeah, we kind of have seasons on Wells Tech. Over the summer, we take it a little bit slower, shorter. We chop some things out, et cetera, et cetera. And now we kind of rev up. And I can't say that we've got a series or something like that, but we're back in the full swing of things with a discussion topic, an interview, ministry resources, all that good stuff we're going to do today. And our discussion topic, and this is kind of a good topic coming out of summer when everybody was on vacation, taking pictures and whatever. There's a lot of things you can do with a picture, but one of them is to share them alongside Bible verses, just showing God's creation or showing something that is inspirational and attaching something from God's Word that you could post on social media or share with a friend, text, whatever. And there are a lot of great tools out there to do that. So we thought we'd spend a few minutes talking and reminding everybody about some of the great apps or websites or whatever that are at your disposal that can help you do that.
Yep, and I think it's a great topic for us personally, as well as for us to consider as churches and schools,
right?
Because imagery is a wonderful way to create, to communicate, and it's very popular, obviously, in social media. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, are going to get a lot more viewership if you have some images attached to whatever your message is.
Mm-hmm.
So why not grace everyone's feeds with some of God's Word?
Yep. We should probably start with maybe one of the old standbys now. The YouVersion people produce the Bible app. You just search for Bible usually on your in your local app store, and it's one of the first ones that comes up. And I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, they produced a little module within the Bible app that you can attach a verse or overlay a verse onto some of their own images, which are beautiful. You know, they have lots of things to choose from, but you can also add your own. So if you're reading the Bible app, you know, got it in Bible class or whatever, and a certain verse strikes you and you want to share it, you just don't have to cut and paste it into something. You can actually embed it with lots of kind of creative tools at your disposal, change the font, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about some even more creative tools in a minute, but this is, you know, the dead simple way to share something that's on your heart that you know, might you feel might have an impact on somebody else.
Yep, they even make it easy for you to share it. So when you're mm-hmm. done creating it, you can save it to your phone and use it from your photo gallery there, mm-hmm. or you can have your Bible app linked up to your Facebook, your Twitter, your Pinterest, your Instagram, whatever, and just with one click, share it on those platforms right there from the Bible app.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, kind of hard to mess up. In addition to that, if you aren't feeling creative, you can also tap into their verse of the day, which they publish every day a new verse in text format, but they also create a verse image of that. And so you can get those as well and easily share those.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's YouVersion. So there, very often you're starting with the verse. The next one, Canva, you're really starting with a kind of a graphical interface. So you're starting with some pretty powerful imaging tools that give you the ability to do the same thing.
They do. And Canva gives you a whole lot of different layouts and things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like having a graphic designer in your pocket.
Right.
And it'll, you know, allow you to size it really easily for something like a Facebook cover image or a long image for Pinterest that might be more like an infographic size or something. So they have all these different things kind of baked in. And then when you select your design size or whatever, hundreds, literally, of different layouts with fonts and, you know, image placement, not always just a plain full width image, but, you know, other elements in the design and things like that. So they really do a lot of the work for you, and you can just go in and edit the text and have some beautiful imagery coming out of Canva. And you can do that on your computer, on your laptop, whatever it may be, and they have a mobile app as well. So you can, you know, pick your flavor.
All right. What's next on the list here? We have a few more to go through. These next ones are all mobile based,
right,
which is typically where you're capturing the photo from. So that makes it super convenient. The one that I'm most familiar with of all the ones that we've got listed here is Adobe Spark. Adobe Spark is one of a bunch of tools that Adobe makes for doing stuff with media. So you have Adobe Spark, which is kind of that single capture tool that you can post to social media. And they have other kind of adjoining tools or kind of a collection of tools, Spark Post, Spark Page, Spark Video, which allow you to, you know, the names are, you know, very representative of what you can do with them. So if you capture something on your phone there, you can turn these into some kind of creation, tell a story, whatever it is, and then you easily can overlay whatever text you want and do a lot of different things with it in a lot of different pre-baked formats, which is kind of the cool part about their tools, is they're anticipating where you're going to put them. So if you're going to put them on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, they've got templates there that make that super easy to do and optimize it for that particular medium.
Yeah, one more thing about Spark Post is that you can create animations. So
right,
if you want your text right to fly in or it to go to a second screen or something like that, that's really popular now with animated GIFs and things being shared all over the place. Why not take advantage of it to create some high-quality graphics that have a little bit of motion to them?
Yeah, they say pick a photo, add text, and apply design filters. So you got filters too, of course, or animations to instantly stand out from the crowd. So
Very nice. Right. Yeah. A couple that I use personally for image editing and certainly for overlaying text is built into it. One's called WordSwag, and it takes your text and puts it in not just fonts, but layouts that are just really fun to consider. And sometimes it includes, you know, larger fonts and smaller fonts intermixed, or even some design elements, lines or badges or things like that for displaying your text. So lots of capabilities there, and it's got filtering and all of those kind of things baked in as well. So WordSwag's a pretty fun app for text and image marriages. Mm-hmm. And then PicCollage is one that I like because oftentimes I want to make a collage of images. And PicCollage is mobile and just recently actually expanded the different dimensions that you can use with your collages. It used to be very phone kind of portrait centric, mm-hmm. where it was just the up and down type imagery, but now you can do more landscape type imagery. And then you can pick up to 6 images to include with your collage, and they have set layouts, or it has a completely freestyle functionality where you can add as many images as you want and rotate them and overlay them and things like that as well. So very versatile tool called PicCollage. And then we started with Bible.com or the Bible app. We'll go back to our Friends With You version. They have an app called Bible Lens, which allows you to use your own imagery, and they suggest Bible verses to go with it. So I remember pictures of our motor home, and it was Bible verses about travel or God mm-hmm. overseeing you wherever you are, or things like that. Pictures of water, and it brought up Bible verses about baptism and things. So just some really neat AI in play there to come up with those ideas for a Bible.
And that's different than the Bible app, which mm-hmm. starts kind of with the text, and then you pick a background. This is a little bit smarter, more focused app that does basically what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun to see what it comes up with. It'll look at your images to do that.
Yeah. So. All right. Good discussion. Good way to get the season started. We're going to come back to this topic a little bit later with another resource that you might be interested in. Let's move on to an interview that we did. We were really pleased to have Dr. Tom Custer join us. He's been on the show a number of times, friend of the show, just a super great guy that we love to kind of exchange ideas with, and he's always thinking about tech and ministry. Especially media kinds of opportunities. He heads up the Christ in Media Institute, and they have a festival and an opportunity for schools to get involved with that. So let's listen to our interview with Dr. Custer about their XR project. We are happy to have joining us, Pastor, and I guess I have to say one of my wife's favorite professors, Tom.
Oh,
Custer.
My goodness. Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Tom. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to be with you, too.
Why don't you start? You've been on the show a number of times, but we get new listeners all the time, so why don't you introduce yourself and your role today. In the past.
Happy to do that. I am a retired professor from Bethany Lutheran College and Seminary in Mankato, Minnesota. For 20 years prior to that, I taught at what was then Dr. Martin Luther College in New Ulm. So I've been a teacher many years, but I'm retired now. And for the past 10 years, I've been the executive director of the Christ in Media Institute, which is an educational arm of Bethany Lutheran College. We're 10 years old this year.
Oh, congratulations. Tell us a little bit more about Christ in Media. We've had, both Sally and I have had the chance to sit in on some of your board meetings and some of your events, both online and in person. Tell us a little bit more about the work that they have and some of their objectives.
Well, our mission is to learn and help other people learn how to use technology to reach out with the gospel. There's always new things to learn. You two and your listeners know that better than anybody. And so it's always a test to try to keep up with things and particularly to address the question of how we can use that to serve the Lord's kingdom.
And that's taken on a lot of different flavors over the years. You've had in-person events, you've had online conferences,
And this year in particular, you're kicking off an event that involves high school students and college students that will culminate in a conference in the spring. Tell us about the XR Festival.
The XR Festival is an exciting venture that we're undertaking this year. XR, you may know, stands for Extended Reality, and it's a bunch of new technology that includes virtual reality. Most people have heard about that. That's where you put on the headset and you're immersed in a different world, and you can move around there and talk to people. Many people have had a quick introduction to virtual reality with the cardboard, the Google Cardboard type of headsets, where you slip in your cell phone and watch a movie, as it were, in 360 degree. You can look behind you and feel like you're really there. But we're working with actual virtual reality, where you can be immersed in the virtual world, move around, talk to people. And XR also includes not just virtual reality, but augmented reality, AR, it's called. That's where you remain in your real world, but if you point your cell phone, for instance, at your table, you can see on your cell phone image a virtual object or creatures or whatever. Maybe you can wear special glasses and see your reality augmented with digital creatures that are around you. So this is an exciting new technology. Virtual reality is being used already in many areas, in retail sales, in construction, tourism, healthcare, navigation, real estate, certainly in education. Just Google, for instance, VR and autism, and see how many things come up where virtual reality is being used for this special population. Forbes magazine last month predicted that this technology will be a $250 billion with a B industry by 2020. That's just a couple years from now.
So the question we're interested in, Tom, especially with this festival, and I think the question you're asking, you know, right in your promo, first line says, how can XR technology be used to serve the Lord? How are you going to answer that?
Well, that's the question that the Christian Media Institute asks about any technology. How can we use this in service of the gospel? And right now, I don't know the answer to that, but I know how to find out the answer, and that is ask the kids. The young people are terrific at coming up with answers to things about technology, ranging from how do I plug something in to questions like we're posing here. How can we use XR technology to serve the Lord? We did something like that back in 2012, you might remember. I think you were there with smartphones. We had a conference at Bethany. We engaged young people throughout the high schools of our synods to address the question about smartphones, because that was the year we realized that pretty soon everyone in the world would have a cell phone or even a smartphone. And so we asked the high school kids that question, how can we use this technology for gospel outreach? And we had high school teams in touch with world missionaries working on that question, and they came together in the spring of that year, and it was amazing. These young people are smart, they're eager to use their talents to serve the Lord, and since that year, I think you may be aware that cell phone outreach has been a blessing in some of our world fields. So now we're asking the same question about this new technology, this XR technology.
So tell us a little bit about the festival, some of the specifics. If somebody's going to go, what would they expect to see when they arrive?
The festival is the culminating event in the spring of 2020, next spring. But we're trying to start it out now with what we call the project phase. And that's where we're inviting teams of high school and college students in our fellowship, but we're also opening this up to public schools. If they're interested, they can come and participate as well. Their focus will be on educational applications, but our focus is going to be on outreach applications. And we're asking these schools, if they wish to participate, to form a team of students and ask them to explore extended reality, learn as much as they can about it, and then at some point narrow down their focus to one aspect of it, maybe VR, maybe AR, maybe something else that they discover, and design a way to use this technology in that area to reach out with the gospel. Or maybe design an educational application. We're not fussy. I think it'll be exciting to see what they come up with.
So at the festival, the students are going to come and present these projects? Is that the idea?
That's the idea, right. The teams are invited to Bethany Lutheran College in the spring. The dates are April 3 and 4. That's a Friday and Saturday in 2020. And we're expecting the schools to send their teams. Incidentally, we have some very generous donors who believe in this project, who have given us some funding that we can extend to schools, especially those at a distance, to help with their transportation and travel to the Mankato campus in the spring. So we're offering that as well. But we expect these teams to come, and then each of them will get a time slot for a showcase during the festival. And we'll see what they come up with. Now, I want to emphasize something. This sounds like kind of a geeky, techie project, but it's much more than that. What we're looking for is not just people who are captivated by technology. There are plenty of young people like that. Almost anybody. These are projects that require imagination. If you're going to design, for instance, a virtual tour of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, or if you're going to create a children's story that kids can watch in VR, or create a virtual hymn sing, or whatever there might be, this requires imagination and research and creativity. Those are the kinds of young people we're looking for to participate. And they'll come up with things, bring them to the festival at Bethany, and it'll be an exciting time.
Neat. There's also some incentive to get signed up, right? A little giveaway.
That's right. We've arranged, again, with a donor to provide any participating school with a free Oculus Go virtual reality headset, and it's a true virtual reality headset. I was in a session just last night with one of our participants, Greg Schibelhut at Luther High School in Onalaska, is creating a team to participate, and he and I met in a virtual room just last night and explored it and walked around and talked about the project. And I had to leave before another person joined, Todd Hackbarth at Lakeside is also creating a team to participate. I think he joined Craig in that room last night as well, but I had a real world appointment, so I had to leave before he got there. But these are kind of interesting and exciting times, so we're supplying each participating school with one of these headsets, at least the first 10. That's how much we have funding for. And that'll give them a chance to experience these things themselves.
No cardboard in these headsets, right?
That's right. These are the cardboard is great. I know that Drew Willems down at Lakeside has been using those in the classroom already in creative ways. But this is a step beyond that, and I think more exciting.
Very good. This is exciting. I'm definitely marking this on my calendar and.
Okay.
Always looking for a trip to get up to Bethany. That's a neat experience. Bethany has done a nice job with media in general and on a lot of different fronts. So that's
they're very strong in that. Their production studio, of course, has been turning out graduates that go to prestigious locations and sports broadcasting and all kinds of things. They've just started an e-sports team. In fact, that's one of the things we hope to demonstrate at the festival next spring, along with a couple keynote speakers. Can I mention them?
Right.
We have a keynote speaker named Christine Lyon Bailey. She's a teacher and consultant out in New Jersey, creating quite a reputation around the country and around the world. In fact, her new book entitled "Harnessing the Power of AR and VR in the Classroom" will be coming out in January, and she'll be one of our speakers. Her emphasis, she says, is to introduce students to experiences outside the classroom walls through virtual reality and creating international connections that build empathy and awareness. And that's really possible. I've been in sessions where people have I've talked with people from Australia and South Asia and Africa. They're in this virtual space, and that's certainly an exciting possibility. And then our second keynote speaker is Dr. Brian Klebig. He's a teacher at Bethany College and Seminary, ordained Lutheran pastor. He comes to us from Michigan State University, where he helped to design and manage their state-of-the-art Charisma virtual reality lab. And he's committed to finding ways to use this technology to reach out with the gospel. And both of these people will be consultants at the festival.
Very nice. So give us a little bit of the specifics. We already know the date, cost, and how to register.
Now, we've tried to keep the cost down for everyone involved. Our registration fee is $30 per person. That pretty much just covers the cost of meals for the people while they're there. Besides that, it's just connecting with us at our registration site, which will be up probably later this fall. Meantime, people can, school teams or school team leaders can register for the project phase by contacting me. That's simply an email to tkuster, that's tkuster, at blc.edu. You can probably put that on your website. And there's more information at the Christ in Media website. That's at christinmedia.org.
Very good. Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to share this wonderful work, and I think I'm very excited about what could come out of this as where technology and ministry intersect. That sounds like where we're going to find ourselves in April next year. So
good.
Neat stuff. Thank you for sharing.
I really appreciate the chance to inform your listeners about this.
Great.
Awesome.
Blessings on your work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, for taking the time. We had to actually record that interview twice, and it came out even better the second time. Tom is always good and so generous with his time. He was actually on vacation, you know, when he did the recording for the second time. We had a little technical difficulties with the first one. So thank you so much for doing that and for everything you do with the Christ in Media Institute. And boy, this sounds like a super opportunity for just trying to figure out what to do with this virtual augmented XR, you know, type field, and where that where ministry hits that.
Yeah, I love the forward thinking ideas that are going to come out of this, mm-hmm. because you know, when you see the kind of investment that people are making and the direction it's going, it's really wise to take a step back and think about how it can affect or be used to further mm-hmm. gospel ministry. So appreciate their think tank coming up with the idea, and I'm super anxious to see what comes out of it.
Yep.
So schools, definitely, now is the time to pay attention and get involved with this project.
Have you done any virtual reality beyond the cardboard approach?
You know, that's a funny question. I did do the cardboard approach, and I did some Google Spheres, which is where you take the pictures that work mm-hmm. with virtual reality in their sphere kind of format. And I have a picture from our corner of the woods in New Ulm, one snow...
Yeah, I remember
storm.
That. Yep, you were.
I went
in a
and stood on the corner,
corner
and
right?
took. And the other day, I got an email from Google, and it said it had been viewed over 100,000 times. Isn't
that
crazy? I don't know. Maybe some robot found it and looked at it a whole bunch. But you know, one thing about this world that we live in is that we can be content creators, and some of this 3D
stuff.
Be on
the cutting edge, right?
We can do it.
Yep.
Just with our little smart devices, even and share our world.
Yep.
So. Cool stuff.
Other than cardboard, I had not done very much at all, and I didn't even do much with that. It's still collecting dust on the shelf here. But it happened last Sunday. Debbie and I were visiting Marquette's art museum, or art gallery. It's not that impressive. It's pretty small, actually. But they had a display there for an artist who does the the paintings on construction barriers. I forget what his name is.
Okay.
Ends with an H, so she's gonna scold me when I get home for not remembering his name. Anyway, but they had a virtual reality kind of display attached to it. So they had Windows or Microsoft's HoloLens And I would say it kind of worked, but I'd say it has a ways to go. This is, I think, the first gen. They were real heavy and uncomfortable, but I could see the potential. So I'm excited to see what comes out of this and how, you know, what the possibilities are and how far the technology has advanced even since those. So.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Good.
For sure.
Let's move on to our news in tech. And we have some breaking news here, Sally.
Yeah. Just as of this morning, this is news I've been eager to bring to our Wells Tech community. And we'll probably do some additional promotion of this. But our Google lectionary calendar, which is something that's been around probably for about 10 years now, Martin. Mm-hmm. It is all the different readings and prayers and verse of the day, hymn of the day, church year color, all those different things about each worship service. It's done by the worship office, but it's imported into a Google Calendar, which people subscribe to. And we are happy to announce that the upcoming church year has now been added. So starting with December 1st of this year, you can get the entire church year's calendar resources. And if you've already subscribed to the Google Lectionary Calendar, which I know many of our listeners have, that's just going to show up for you now. The calendar does not end at the end of November on Thanksgiving worship. It now is extended into the future. And normally when we make these announcements, Martin, it's for the next church year, but I'm happy to say that it's for the next 3 church years. Mm-hmm. So we have some really wonderful coworkers who have done the work to get these things formatted. And all I do is a simple import to keep the calendar up to date. And it's off and running again. And you can find those resources there and continue with your worship planning needs as you make use of that calendar.
Yep. And we have, we'll put a link to the Wells Tech Wiki, which has directions on how to subscribe to that, how to view it.
How to even include it in your own church calendar,
right,
if you want.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, very good. Let's move on to our Wells Now segment. Should probably explain a little bit about these segments as we go along, because we probably have some new listeners for the new season. News in tech is we just kind of pick something. It happened to be Wells related, but it's not always. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes there was a big Apple event today, and we'll probably talk about that next week in our news in tech segment, etc. Wells Now is about Wells and different events going on or different things that you can get involved with or follow or read. And this one we've mentioned before. All summer we had kind of our focus on congregational services, and we talked with Pastor John Hine, and he highlighted this event as well. There is a Lutheran Leadership Conference coming up January 21st to 23rd at the Sheraton Grand Hotel in Illinois. That's down in Chicago. We bring it up now because early bird pricing ends coming up at the end of next month, October 31st. You can still get in after that, but it'll be a little bit more expensive. The venue, the atmosphere, the approach that they're taking, the speakers, all seem like top-notch. I think they're putting a lot of energy and resources into this conference. And if you are in any kind of leadership position or just want to kind of get a sense for where your church could go, talking anything from strategic planning to resources that are available, et cetera, this would be the conference to go to. So it's a very reasonable price for where they're at and fairly centrally located. So if you are, you know, across the country, it's not it's a cheaper flight to come into Chicago. That's one of, I think, the reasons that they have it out there. So just be aware of that. We'll probably bring it up again as we get closer to the end of the early bird deadline. But they've got some great keynote speakers, and I think you're really, if you go, I think you're really going to get a lot out of this particular conference. So that is the Wells National Conference on Lutheran Leadership. That's the full title.
Yep, I was at the Wells Women's Ministry Conference this summer, and this was actually presented there as something that maybe you'd want to encourage a woman,
right? Any kind of leadership,
in your congregation to attend as well. They even have discounts if you have 3 to 5 people coming from your church.
They're
encouraging groups of people
from congregations to go.
It's kind of a think tank for your congregation to go back with the ideas. And
I think that's a great idea
them.
Is to bring somebody who you're sharing ministry with that you can bounce ideas off of and get those creative juices flowing that are really practical and pragmatic to your situation. So All right. We're up to our picks of the week section. This is something we've done forever. I think even show one we had this, where Sally and I just pick something that kind of has grabbed our interest, something that we use, something that we feel might be of interest to folks. Can be a piece of software, an app, a piece of hardware, a website, a blog. You know, anything is kind of fair game. We've done, I think, the whole gamut. And we just throw it out there each week. And hopefully it's of use. We found them useful or we wouldn't bring them up. And hopefully you will, too. So, Sally, you always go first. What's your pick this week?
Well, my pick this week centers around some of my favorite image editing or image. I'm sorry, not editing. We talked about editing already. Image resources. So free stock photography, basically.
Right.
But the reason I came up with this idea to use this pick was because I was reading an article from the website Church Mag. We've talked about Church Mag through the years. And just a week or so ago, they came out with an article that said why you should open an Unsplash account for your church brand. So my spidey senses kind of were set off by that because I like Unsplash. It's a great place to go for free stock photography. And it's truly free, price tag free, and royalty free. Like public domain photography, they say that you can give attribution if you want to, but it's not required, basically. And super high-quality stuff. You can find all kinds of great things there. The point of the article from Church Mag was it's an opportunity for you to share gospel-centered photography and share the gospel through your photography. You know, maybe that's not an avenue that you think of in traditional outreach purposes, but if you have a whole collection of great photography out there around the Christian theme or whatever, it may lead people to seek out who you are and, and learn more about you through your website and things like that. Because you can, you know, you do include and make a profile for the images that you're uploading. So a quick read, but worth a little bit of brain time on, and certainly worth using the Unsplash resources, even if you don't set up an account for your church. The other one worth mentioning in the mix is Pixabay, and I would think the same concept would apply with having an account there and submitting royalty-free images for people to use there as well. Just an interesting thought about gospel outreach.
Nice. Good start. My pick is also photo-related. I have picked the software that I'm going to reference here before, actually earlier in the year, in fact, Affinity Photo for iPad. So I do, I've been trying to do all my photo editing on an iPad, which is kind of a great medium for it. You know, the touch, and I can use the pencil, and just kind of a nice experience. And Affinity Photo for iPad really does a nice job of that. That's really not my pick. It's kind of a Photoshop competitor, but I think a little bit easier to use and much lower price. I think it's like $25 or something like that, but well worth it. The picks are related to learning how to edit photos. That's kind of half the challenge. So I was taking photos. We were up in Door County a couple weeks ago and took some photos. And a number of them were, I was shooting into the sun, so they're backlit, which is sometimes an exposure challenge because faces will get dark or whatever. And I quickly went to a couple of these channels dedicated to Affinity Photo for iPad tutorials, and you can find anything on YouTube these days. And these are two YouTubers that really kind of focus on that. And within, you know, 5-10 minutes, I watched a couple videos and knew exactly how to expose, you know, the skin tones and the faces without blowing out the backgrounds and, you know, kind of the brute force approach. And they turned out super nice. So if you're going to have software like this, you might as well learn how to use it. And YouTube has a number of great resources for that. The two that I'm going to mention, one is a gal, Bethany Acorn is her name. She just does, she's very talented and she does all kinds of crazy things, but she does some very basic things too about, you know, how to, you know, soften the background or expose the face or the highlight the eyes or et cetera, those kinds of things. And the other one is called Affinity Revolution. And this is a guy who, and his wife, I think, who have written a book. So his YouTube channel is kind of pushing people toward the book. But he's got a ton of YouTube videos just talking about and walking people through Affinity Photo for iPad. Now, even if you don't use that tool, I think some of recommendations that they make about how, what exposure to set and how to set your camera and those kinds of things are really valuable as well. So the more you learn, obviously, the better photos you're going to take, and that fits in very nicely with our topic for the day as well. So those are my picks, two YouTubers, Bethany Acorn and Affinity Revolution, just good stuff on Affinity Photo for iPad.
Excellent. Always good skills to learn and life to skills, continue to
really,
enhance
and
for
ministry
sure,
skills
with the
right?
communication, visual communication that goes on today for sure.
Yeah. What are you taking photos with these days, Sally?
I am mostly sticking to my trusty dusty iPhone. Mm-hmm. I
takes good photos.
Have the DSLR, and it just is a lot more work to get that
it
out.
Is.
I used it some this summer, and I'm happy with the results for the most part. But sometimes I don't quite know the settings to fit.
That's the thing. You gotta get comfortable with it, because if you're fumbling around with it, it's a deterrent, and the photo's sometimes gone.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Exactly. Let's move on to our ministry resource segment. We inserted this a few years back, and we try and fill it with just tools or techniques, something that you can take back to your congregation or school and kind of use, put into practice. And Sally, what's our ministry resource this week?
Well, it's going to stick with the theme we've been talking about, Martin, and we're going to feature the Wells Tech Challenge album. So turning back the hands of time, a couple of years ago, we ran a challenge all throughout the season for people to submit their own royalty-free pictures that could be posted for public domain use, and primarily around Christian themes. Mm-hmm. And so we have, I think, over 1,000 images in the challenge album, and some are just amazingly high quality and great imagery for all throughout the church year. So everything from confirmation to communion to Christmas pictures, Easter pictures, and all in between, and also some that are Christian education focused mm-hmm. as well. And so if you're looking for the right image or collection of images to use for your website or for verse images or whatever your needs may be, this is a really trusted place that you can go and find some great ones. Now, we work within the Flickr constraints, so we chose to host the album on Flickr, and one of the things that you can do there is search, but search crosses all the albums and people and imagery that's on Flickr. So in order to limit your search to just our album, we have a keyword or a tag on each picture that's part of the album, and it's and I lost it in my
Wells Tech Photo Challenge.
There you go, with no spaces. So if you put Wells Tech Photo Challenge, space, and then some other term like communion or something, mm-hmm. you could narrow down our album even further. Or you can just go over to the album and search through the 1,000-plus photos that are there, mm-hmm. you know, just by paging through or whatever. But I think you'll be happy with what you find there. There's a lot of great imagery and things that'll be useful to you in your ministry settings. Haven't talked about it in a while. Thought we'd
right.
remind people.
Can people add photos yet?
They can. There's a link, and I'll dig that up and include it on the show notes, to a form where people can submit their own photos.
And they're free, and that's part of the appeal of this, that people are just, we're crowdsourcing a collection mm-hmm. of nice religious images. Mm-hmm. So, very nice. Community feedback. This is a section where we hear from you, and everybody's invited to contribute. If you go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, across the top of the page, you see all kinds of social media icons, which is where we hang out once in a while and grab the feedback that comes from there. You can leave a comment on a show note or on our show notes page directly or on an episode. And you can also just email us, wellstech@wells.net, and we'll include your feedback. Could be a resource, could be a question, comment, whatever it is. We'd love to hear back from you. So what do we have this week for community feedback, Sally?
Well, we got an email, just like you described, from mm-hmm. a longtime show friend, Pastor Rob Gunther, who's serving at St. John Lutheran Church in New Ulm, Minnesota. And he sent us a reminder about a website called Nine Night.
Nine Night, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
And actually, I had seen this as well in my pick of the week 2 weeks ago. I picked an article from Make Use Of called 9 Things to Do Before Using a New Computer. And one thing I didn't talk about, but the 9th thing on the list was to use 9i to install multiple apps. So the concept is you go to this website, you check off the apps that you use. Maybe it's the Chrome browser or something from the App Store. I don't know. I use Trello on my desktop or whatever. And then if there are new versions, 9i will take care of installing that for you behind the scenes, perhaps at nighttime even, seamlessly. So you never have to worry about installing software updates. It takes care of that for you. And Rob wrote to us and recommended it. And I look back, I think we talked about it last, about 8 years ago, Martin. So it's been around for a while and it's still going strong. I think if you look at the website, it says that they have over 1 million users or something like that. I know I read that somewhere. So very popular. Yeah, it says trusted by millions at the top. About 1 million apps each day that they update. So that's pretty big stuff and obviously works well for people or they wouldn't continue to use it. So.
Yeah, they have. And right there, it's a real simple interface. You just check the boxes. So you want Chrome and Foxit Reader and Qt PDF and TeamViewer and whatever. And check those boxes and it just does its thing. So. Great for somebody probably maintaining a bunch of PCs probably.
Definitely. Also want to make mention of another article that came across my desktop. I put it out in the DIGO group, which is another way that Wells Techers can share links to things. This article is titled 14 Incredibly Useful Things You Didn't Know Google Drive Could Do. And I'm always interested if they really did find something that I didn't know Google Drive could do. There were definitely some good reminders here, a couple worth mentioning. You can edit PDFs, which is something that can be frustrating if you have a PDF document and you really want to grab the text from it and reuse it. I've had circumstances where I created the PDF, but I can't find the original file.
Right.
And Google Drive will actually do that for you. If you upload a PDF document, there'll be a link available where it says open in docs. And it may not be the cleanest, but it will
get the text. Right.
And that can be really useful. You can also edit all types of Office files. So Word and Excel files are editable in their original format. So it doesn't change it from a Word document into a Google Doc. You can use it and edit it as a Word document. So that's pretty powerful as well. And then one thing that I often don't think about until it's something I really, really need is that Google Drive provides versioning. So if something were to happen in the process of working on a document or spreadsheet and it got corrupted somehow and you needed to go back to the beginning and start again without those corruptions, you can turn back the hands of time with the versioning that's available. So that can definitely be your friend. So give the article a read and let us know if there are other things that caught your attention about Google Drive, some of those tricks that it can do for you.
One that caught my attention was secure file encryption. I did not know that you can physically tell it, hey, I want this file to be encrypted. You put in a password, you drop your files in the little box, and away it goes. That's pretty cool. Safely store private encrypted files in your Google Drive. So if you have some sensitive information that you want to host in the cloud as kind of a backup or whatever, that's a great way to do it. So,
yeah,
cool.
Definitely.
All right.
One more community feedback topic, and that is from the Wells Google Schools community over on groups.io. If you aren't a member, it might be worth getting involved with that group. Recently, actually just as recently as yesterday, there was a discussion around end-of-life dates on Chromebooks. So I'm not sure that they call them end-of-life dates, but expiration dates, and whether people that are using them in school settings should just assume that you need to replace them by that date. And a couple of people chimed in. Jason Schmidt said basically he thinks of it like the milk expiration date. So he says your devices will be fine up to and probably for a little while after that date, but eventually they'll start to go bad, so you need to kind of have a plan. And then Josh Shanick chimed in and said, it's my understanding that no updates, manual or automatic, will be available after the auto update period is up. So you it turns off auto updates, and also you can't go get them yourself even. So yeah, definitely be aware of those end-of-life dates and take them into consideration as you do your budgeting and technology planning, especially in one-to-one environments where you're handing every student a Chromebook, you know, that it has to be that you're going to be able to replace those eventually.
Right. And it's good to know from a student and parent perspective if they're taking those out of the school with them, you know, after they graduate or whatever, what they can expect from a support perspective too. So, all right, that's it for community feedback. Let's close the show with our video of the week.
And we actually have a doubleheader this week, Martin. So excited to share this with you. I heard from Pastor Michael Johnson, who's at Good Shepherd in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And this was just some really positive feedback from a Wells Tech listener and also someone who was at our EdTech Lead conference this summer. He said from the conference, they made a communication plan for their congregation based off the communication sectional that happened at the conference. And one of the most ambitious goals that they adopted was a quarterly update video. And shout out to Jonathan Witte, who did a video production sectional at the conference as well. They took back some of that information, and they just this past Sunday released their first Good Shepherd Connect, kind of patterned after the
Wells Connection.
Well, monthly Wells Connection videos, right. They're planning to do it quarterly. Reminded me that Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Menominee Falls does something similar. So we have examples from both of those congregations of their Connect videos, and maybe it'll be an inspiration to you. Maybe you're doing the same thing and would like to share yours as an example for others as well. So please let us know.
I have to comment, very nice production value. I watched both of them and was very impressed. It did not look amateurish at all. You can get away with a little bit of that too, but it was, you know, nice transitions and, you know, smooth graphics and cuts. And I thought and audio was good. So all of those are key ingredients to making something look very nice, even though sometimes it's just an internal video. You want it to be certainly watchable and appealing to your membership if that's your audience. So nice stuff. All right, Sally, that is going to do it for episode 610. We'll look forward to coming back in a few and do 611, more good stuff. And I think we're going to have Jason Schmidt hopefully come join us again for an educationally focused show. Classroom technology, but it's more than that, isn't it? It's educational technology.
Sure.
So we're looking forward to Jason's smiling face coming on the show, even if it is just his voice. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.